Thank you. I'm talking here today mainly about the prediction of preferential flow and its initiation at the soil surface. So what conditions initiate it, and how does that lead to a way to relate it to rain intensity and soil wetness? I've used some terms, for example, macropore, differently from what they're commonly used as, so I want to make distinctions clear from the start. First of all, macropores versus micropores, I'm making a functional distinction, not a size distinction, but functional, where macropores are pores where the flow is driven essentially completely by gravity. The capillarity is not important. Micropores, you have a combination of capillarity and gravity that drives the flow. So that in micropores, we have the usual consideration of a pore is either filled or not filled. If it's filled, then it's conductive and has flowing water. Whereas in macropores, the macropores I'm thinking of as can be partially filled. You can have a trickle, a rivulet, a film, something else. If it's flowing under the influence of gravity, then that can make preferential flow. So this is different from the definitions of macropore that depend on aperture. In fact, if you consider the ranges of apertures this leads to, they overlap. Micropores, a pore 300 microns or smaller, can easily have significant capillary effects. Macropores, if you think about, say, a thin film, a film just a few microns thick, flowing, as long as it's flowing under gravity, that it only needs to be in a pore as wide, well, wide enough to hold the whole film with some airspace. So perhaps as small as 30 microns or so. The primary condition for initiation of macropore flow, I'm taking to be that water being applied at the land surface faster than it can infiltrate into the soil matrix. So a definite distinction between matrix material and macropores. When the rainfall rate exceeds the matrix infiltrability, then you can have localized runoff, goes down a macropore and generates preferential flow. This can happen without ponding or saturation, which are often used as criteria for preferential flow, but it's actually a broader criterion. It includes the case of ponding or saturation that will lead to this phenomenon, but in addition, soil very dry or hydrophobic, other conditions can cause preferential flow. So if you consider the heterogeneity of the soil, consider two patches of soil. Here, this one on the left of higher infiltrability, perhaps it's coarser, lower infiltrability on the right. And during a rainstorm, a given rainfall rate, it can perhaps fall short of the matrix infiltrability of this soil on the left, so that in that case, all of the rainfall gets absorbed into the matrix, whereas the soil that has less infiltrability, if that matrix infiltrability is less than the rainfall rate, then you'll have preferential flow here, even though you don't have it here. Extending this concept to soil at the plot scale, you can have a mosaic of individual areas, each having essentially the same matrix infiltrability. So I'm representing these with a distribution function, the typical sort of definition, relative abundance of area versus matrix infiltrability. So for a given value of the infiltrability, the magnitude of this function tells you the relative proportion of the area that has that infiltrability. For convenience, a log normal distribution is quite useful. Two parameters, the geometric mean and standard deviation. This scheme is quite analogous to one formulated by Hawkins and Cundy, where they were using not matrix infiltrability, but total infiltrability, including effective macropores. And what they get, instead of macropore flow, they're looking at runoff from the plot. So to calculate fluxes, the matrix flux and preferential flux, consider this diagram, and if we assume, this is assuming we know the distribution function for the plot of soil. So knowing that, take the rainfall rate, the soil area with infiltrability greater than that, all of this goes to matrix flow. Matrix infiltrability less than the rainfall rate means that some of the flow is matrix up to its capacity, up to the capacity of the infiltrability or infiltration capacity. And what's left over, I assume, goes to preferential flow. So you can get these the fluxes mathematically just by doing integrations of the flow rate over the appropriate areas. So this area here gives us a component of matrix flux, other component of matrix flux from this area, and as I mentioned earlier, this area here is what contributes the preferential flux. I've tested this with a beautiful data set. This is incredible data from Iguchi and Hasegawa. They did an experiment that's a combined Darcyan and soil water balance method for determining all these fluxes. They're focusing at the 1 meter depth. 1 meter depth, they want to know what's the matrix flux through that depth and what's the preferential flux through that depth. So they do this by one thing, just above and just below 1 meter, they have tensiometers. So the difference between those readings gives us the matrix potential gradient that's driving flow across the 1 meter plane. They have TDR measurements of the water content at the 1 meter depth. And they've previously measured the unsaturated hydraulic conductivity as a function of water content from soil at this depth. So they've got the conductivity, the gradient, compute flow by Darcy's law. And what that is then is the matrix flow, because it's driven by capillarity and gravity. So they get a component of matrix flow. They also measure the soil water content over this 0 to 1 meter depth interval, so that the change in water storage is the other component of in the water balance. And taking the infiltration, subtract the change in soil water storage, subtract the matrix flow, then what's left, presumably, is preferential flow going through the 1 meter depth that they get from this balance. They ran this experiment for 7 years, great dedication. They get these fluxes, precipitation, storage, matrix flux, and then from the difference, the preferential flux. They found that in 7 years, they had 26 events, 26 storms were under conditions suitable to generate preferential flow. So looking at one of these with this new model, if you have, this is a storm that has actually a very high proportion of preferential flow. Ratio of preferential flow to rainfall is about 40%. And the average intensity of this storm was about 8 millimeters per hour. So we can, taking the formulas I showed earlier, optimize to get this distribution function. So optimize, get the two parameters that we need to define it, and then take from this matrix, storm intensity, the different integrals, add them up for flow, and we get about the same ratio of preferential flow that was measured. It's interesting to compare two storms that are similar in some ways and different in others. In this case, similar initial wetness. So same antecedent water content. Naturally, our infiltrability is going to depend strongly on the water content. And so these have essentially the same distribution of this this distribution function that determines the relative areas. And so one storm is at high intensity, they're at low intensity, you see the effect of high intensity, we get the preferential flow corresponding to the area of this portion of the diagram, quite large, low intensity, it's much smaller, and again, it corresponds pretty well to the measurements. Another comparison, same rainfall rate approximately, but falling on dry soil versus wet soil. The effect of the dry soil is that because of its much greater sorptivity, it tilts the matrix infiltrability toward the higher values. Have higher values here than most of the low values for the wet soil. And then, given this, storms of the same intensity, in this case, on the wet soil, it generates a large amount of preferential flow. The dry soil, very, very little, corresponding to the fact that most of the rain is going in to wet up the soil matrix. So to conclude, we've got two things quite important, I would say, to preferential flow. One is the soil matrix infiltrability is an important control, and its heterogeneity over areas. And we get an infiltrability distribution, it's controlling, it varies with wetness and with storm intensity. So two factors, wetness and storm intensity. And what it comes out to is a framework a framework for mathematically predicting preferential flow that emerges from relating these storm characteristics to the matrix, or the distribution of matrix infiltrability. Thank you. Okay. Right. Yeah. Those are things we've thought about, and they need to be incorporated as parts of the model, the way it's formulated. As for the macropores not going all the way to a certain point, well, you have to define what level you're talking about. That surely there are macropores 50 centimeters long that put water into the soil matrix at 50 centimeters depth. Oh, some started. Yes, that's right. That's right. And those are something not considered in this model. Excuse me. This model so far, except to the extent you could get seepage into macropores, seepage from the matrix into the macropores at those depths, which of course would require a very high water content. As for hydrophobicity, that's a really interesting issue. It's going to this distribution curve is going to depend very strongly on the hydrophobicity conditions of the soil and soil water content. So that's actually the biggest. What I'm most eager to develop is how do we get this distribution for different conditions.
I'm curious then what your thoughts are for going forward to establish distribution parameters for different conditions.
Well, what we have so far is what you've seen, that I'm sorry.
Throat's not doing its best today. Where's this? Okay.
Where we have such a good data set like Iguchi and Hasegawa's, well, we've got all these fluxes so we can do inverse modeling to get the distribution. In practice, for practicality, it's going to depend on formulating relationships between the known hydraulic properties of the soil, getting infiltrability, how it relates to soil wetness, how it depends on things like hydrophobicity. This has got to be all factored in. So it's a very interesting problem, and it's a big problem. Do you mean the parameters for the distribution function, or yeah, the distribution function? It does vary. As it is now, working by inverse modeling, we have to inverse model it for each storm, or at least so far. We're still developing this. Hope to do better than that. We're also looking at the effects of the soil antecedent water and intensity. How those directly relate to preferential flow.
Okay, well, thank you very much again.